council's back in session. Item number 10, selection of council members to serve on interview group for the Community Development Director Planning Services contract.
Those of you, you know, we put out basically a request for qualifications, much of that's kind of like proposals, but professional services. So as we've been using Deborah McMahon, who's done our planning since basically the beginning. Now, I don't know if there was someone else first or not, but by and large, she did it through our approval of the comp plan. Our contracts have expired on and off. They've been extended, and you know, it was really for the planning, the whole big building the comp plan. But now we're into now we're kind of moving to taking care of customers and, you know, more responding to applications. So I felt we need to put it out there, get a 3 to 5 year agreement with someone. We'll know what they're going to charge per hour. Are they charging driving time? You know, how are they going to, you know, some of it's a fixed rate, some of it's maybe a monthly set, you know, who knows? But we'll work through all of that. So okay, we've got that. So I'd like to get a couple council members, and we'll get a couple planning commission members, you know, to serve. And just to kind of flush out whoever we get, we may have several respondents. Then we'll, of course, bring them back here for you guys to approve. And if you want, we can bring the finalists down for an interview with the council for that.
Okay. I would recommend that we look at the members of the committee that, you know, at least one have some history of the city, long history of the city, and where we came from. And
knowing we also then got the website, so you kind of try to split things up. So while that's the next discussion, just kind of be thinking, you know, we're going to need a couple folks for the website, and we need a couple folks for planning.
Okay. So. And maybe we can just talk about these two at the same time.
Sure. Yes.
So, Stu, would you be interested in the item as a member of item number 10?
Which is the planning.
Which is the planning.
And I was going to volunteer for that because since I'm already involved with the land.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
right. Very good.
Group, I thought it would be a good.
Kathy, would you like to do that?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
Either one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Then
probably
Kathy and
not
Stu?
As savvy with websites. Yeah, I'll go with Stu.
Okay. I just like to say that I have a long background in computer electronics and computer software, doing websites. I've done a number of websites, so I'd like to be on the committee for the website. And
I'd like to do it too.
You'd like to do it too?
Yeah.
Okay. Karen, we're going to give you a break.
Really? That's what I wanted to say.
Well, tell them next, or your next couple of
your next
first
on,
choice.
Your next on the list of choice.
Next on the list.
All right. Yeah, Ken and I talked a little. It'd be nice to have a larger group in it for a lot of reasons. We have to publish the notice once three of you get together. We have to then actually publish the notice. We have to spend money in a newspaper. We have to have Patty recording it. And when you're interviewing folks, whether it's planning or the website, you know, we want to kind of get into the weeds with some of these folks and ask some things that they may not want tape recorded, and you know, so it just doesn't work logistically very well. So that's kind of why we, unfortunately,
yeah,
when you got a 5-person council, you can only have two
together.
Yeah, we fight that all the time, and there's nothing we can do about it.
Okay.
So if you might want to make a motion to appoint those people, that you'd say.
I'm going to entertain a motion to appoint Stu and Kathy to the Development Director Planning Services interview group, and Ken Molenx and Greg Jones to the website interview group.
I still move.
Second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very good.
It's unanimous on number 10 and 11. Oops. Post office box.
kind of just to get your feel in a bigger town with the, you guys like these things. So, you know, we've got the, our post office, which I mean, I like to say to some people that might be a big deal because we've had this certain post office box number. And it's a small baby post office box. And the districts have a bigger box. But we all, as part of this, of getting rid of the, we are one. The districts in the city are one. So Ashley and I and Patty talked and said, really, if you're going to keep one, the districts is bigger. And they run out of boxes down here. So what I thought is, if you guys were okay, we would, well, you know, we would keep both for a year. But we would start getting our business cards when you run out, letterheads. We would just start using their post office box. And we'd start putting that on bills and everything else, not throwing stuff away. But we would just kind of start that transition to where the city of La Pine's post office box is actually the district's former post office. Most people don't memorize post office box numbers for people. There's probably very little of someone thinking something weird's going on. But, you know, we would change it on our websites and all of that. And then, like I say, we keep them both so that regardless of where people send them. But at some point, we get rid of one of them.
Would during this period of time, would we not take up some kind of effort to send a notice to people saying, we're switching our post office?
Sure. Oh, no, we can do that. Okay. Yeah, and then also while you're waiting, you know, if you're going to get a new logo someday, then that's when we could redo business cards. You know, because we don't want to redo them and then throw them away 2 months later because you got a new logo.
Oh, yeah.
So this is just a step. It doesn't mean it's happening next week. We may keep the city box for 2 years, but it's just a process. I'm trying to get everything into one. You know, I had a meet today with Darwin, and we got a Liggy post office box for another 6 months. Well, I'm thinking, you know, reality is that could come, again, to the city's post office box, and it's going to go to EDCO, and when they're down there, and we have a box here for the EDCO person. You just don't need all of these post office boxes and everything. So, but I'm not so worried about that one at this point. But right now, I thought that's a step. So if you guys think that that's fine to move to the district's post office, we'll figure out a plan to let people know and switch it up in our computers.
We never changed for billing. We kept it at our PO box.
Right.
So all our customers don't even know that you guys have a PO box.
Right.
So the bulk of them are still sending it to the one we want to change it to anyway.
Is there any discussion, Council? Sue?
No.
Okay. Shall we just call for consensus that we allow the staff to move forward?
Okay. Correct.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
League of Oregon Cities Annual Conference?
The league, that's coming up in September, what's
25th, 6th, 7th.
You probably all got something on it.
It's in the book.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think Stu's got it right there.
And, you know, we have to get motel rooms up there, and it's something, it's 2 months out, a little more. But
yeah.
It'd be nice to get everyone,
four.
Because it's expensive to register. We don't want to register and not have people go. So, you know, you really, in the next couple, 3 weeks, it'd be nice.
There's a thing here, right there.
He's got one in his hand.
The 88th Annual Conference.
So, you know, if you plan on going, you need to let staff know. You can email us. And then what kind of motel room you need, and then we will start to work on that. So anyway, it's in Portland, out with the Red Lion. And so it is educational. You do learn a lot. You meet a lot of good folks. But don't feel, if you can't go, you can't. It's not, I mean, you know, lots of people don't go. But there's 1,000 people there better. So big conference.
You get to meet with all your legislators, state and federal. You get to meet with all the department heads of all the departments in the state of Oregon. They have round tables, they have training classes. I highly recommend it for anybody.
It is good to go.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do every year, but at least try to do. How many of you have an interest in going or the ability to go? I know the mayor will go.
I'll go.
I'll look at it. I got to go last year, so we need to apply.
We're fine. I mean, you know, don't worry about, you just, at this point, if you want to go, there's people that go always, so I mean, that's not a problem.
Okay.
You know, it's good for you to be trained and to, yeah, it's positive.
There is a scholarship for a person who has never been before that's new to a council. That would fit Karen, but I know Karen has issues around that time frame. And,
sure.
And,
okay. Well, just again, all you need to do is email us whether or not you're going, and
Well, Greg can use the scholarship though, can he?
Yes, no, no, he can.
He can.
Sure.
I went last year.
No,
did
you didn't.
Yeah.
No.
Over to Salem?
No, yeah. That was the Capitol Day.
Oh,
you have to go
oh,
there.
Oh, well, then I could use the
yeah.
scholarship, yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about applying for that, but...
Well, it's in this book right here.
I'm more interested for it's your time commitment away. You know, getting
so
there,
you want an email from anybody that wants to go?
Because we don't want to do it piecemeal if we can. Well, eventually we will. We'll just, and if we're going to call and get three rooms or four rooms, and if you need kings and queens and, you know, we're not going to get into the sleeping arrangements. So you just tell us what it is you sleep with, and we'll get the room.
Wife. Moving right along.
That goes not to
moving right along. Okay.
Woo, baby.
Okay. So we know what we need to do. The Pine Cemetery permit process, item 14.
That's just another report. You know, that's been worked on for quite a few months. And so thanks to Patty and Ashley. I don't know how much Ashley worked on that particular item, but just getting our permits for the sewer cemetery, but we worked through that, and we have our temporary permit up on the wall, and we will get our permanent one when they really get to that. But it was just a process of going down through it. That had hung around here for about 8 months, and they called and, you know, threatened to fine us and all kinds of things, and so we just kind of started down through it, and it's one of those things that you can't get your arms around. It's like the tedious just starts taking one at a time, and you take each issue. It's amazing. You just knock them off. And really, you know, it went fairly fast, and the lady over there at the cemetery board, her and I started getting along great, and we got her. So we have a licensed cemetery. And Jeremy Green emailed today, wanted to know if he had to do anything, so now he's all upset because he has nothing to do.
And
no billable hours.
And when you check the financial statements, you'll see that his billing is down significantly.
So we're legal.
Thank you. Century West Engineering contract project update.
You approved that one also.
Right.
They were going to start this week. I have not seen any of them out here, but here in the next, you could still this week, there'll be someone out starting to survey out here. They'll be starting to, you know, first number one thing you do is survey, and then they'll move down to Huntington and stuff. But they want to get this all done so that the people behind the scenes can start drawing it up based on that. So start for the sidewalk project will begin.
No, that's the whole project. They're going to do the frontage. I didn't see anything in there about flagpole. Are we going to have a flagpole?
That's not part of this. I mean, this was ODOT funded. It was not part of that.
Oh, I thought maybe the landscaping part might be in there.
No.
Okay.
It wouldn't be in the right of way.
That's right.
Yeah. But if we, you know, down the road, if we want a flagpole, it's something we'd have to do it ourselves outside of this. And we have a flagpole.
Temporary.
Okay, so
there's nothing for you to do on that.
Other matters, there are none, and then item 17 is public comments again.
Well,
so my name is Donald Greiner, 16489 Charlotte Day Drive, and I'd just like to make a comment. Up until about 2 weeks ago, the council consisted of Dan Barco, Don Greiner, Stu, and Kathy, and Mayor Ken. That was in the Ben Bulletin. And I've been watching the Bulletin for the last 6 months, and there's never been any change. We've all been in there. And finally, I had a couple of people from Crescent Creek ask me about what was going on down at the council as I was on the council, and I says, no, I'm not. I called down and said something to somebody, I think it was Patty, that our names were still on the council. Well, guess what? Our names were taken off the council, but this last time, you're down to three councilors. You now have Councilor Agin, Councilor Martinez, and Mayor Mullinex. And it would seem to me that part of the priorities of the council and the city would be that when you have new councilors brought on board, that at least the media would be notified. And I think it's kind of remiss on somebody's part to not have the correct councilors listed in our major paper in the area. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Staff comments.
Well, Well, actually, I was going to have an added agenda. We want to talk about the structure of the meeting and how we're going to do meetings.
And I thought in here somewhere, but let's go to that.
Because I was actually going to add it as an agenda, so you okay. Spend some time on it. So this would be the topic that came up last meeting, and I sent you just some ideas and things. But this is truly a staff, I mean a council type. This is, we're talking about the how people get to interact with meetings and so on. And so it's really up to you guys to decide. The way we currently do it is within parameters, and any of the suggestions are within. In other words, if you get way out on either, well, if they're too wild, then you know, my job as staff is to say, whoa, you're way out there. Your current way isn't way out there. It's just how you do it. And if someone raises the question, could you allow people more? Certainly, you can. So it's really what you guys want to decide, and you know, it's up to the five of you, and then we'll make it happen.
I'd like to start by saying that I'm not sure how it never got picked up, but the council used years ago, and it wasn't in effect when I came on board, but they used to have a sign-up sheet. I used it many times, and I think it's an outstanding way to allow the council to take input from the public. So I'll have said that and asked for input from Kathy.
I looked at this. What I think of is that during the session, if someone thinks of a question they'd like to ask, I think it would be nice that they be permitted to ask a question. I mean, and to bring this up, Ashley did a great job on sending this out to everyone, the water quality report. Mm-hmm. And I read, if you all read that, I read that, and I was tickled to death, but I knew that we didn't do it. So we talk about inviting everyone to the city council meetings, the time, the date, and it says we value open communication with our customers and appreciate all questions and comments during those meetings. So I think my input would be that I would like to see a more open session meetings, that if people had a question to bring up, they could bring it up, even if perhaps they didn't think of it until halfway through. I would hate to see them not allowed if their name was not on this. I just think we're small. We want people involved. We have the same faithful people come most of the time, but perhaps if they feel more of a part of what's going on and they feel a freedom to say, gee, why don't we have a jazz club or something, that no matter what it is, they can come and voice their concerns and opinions. And even me, I'd like to be able to ask a question sometimes that I don't understand.
Sue?
Well, I think it is a council kind of, I can't think of the word now.
Style,
there you go, thank you. You know, if we want to dance to the music, here I'll get this, you know. See, I'm getting a casual type, or we can sit there and go, Robert's Rules of Order. I think it depends on what's going on in the meeting, and I think you'll have a feel of it. You know, because we get the agenda ahead of time. But I also want to go back to something that I suggested 7, 8, 9 years ago, was if someone wanted to address the council, we had some sign-up sheets and forms and a topic written on that. And when it came to, we'd have another item on our agenda, and when it came to that, then the mayor would call those people forward and they'd be able to come forward and address whatever concerns they had. Now, if someone comes up with something that, you know, they thought up later and wanted to address the council, you know, the next advice I would give them is that's what our city manager is for. You know, you're more than welcome to go or call the city manager and get it on our next agenda, or maybe it's something the city manager could address. Or depending on if it's a work session. A work session is a lot looser than a formal council meeting. That would be another time where, you know, open conversation would be welcome. I just hesitate to get too loose in a formal council meeting. I mean, like right now tonight, our agenda's pretty open. I mean, mm-hmm. Then if someone had a question, I probably would, I don't know about the mayor, but you know, if I were running it, it'd be, okay, yeah, sure, let's share. But if we have several presentations going on, you know, like these folks that drove for Ben, their time is valuable. We need to stay on track. So if they were the last people on our agenda, they'd still be able to get home at a reasonable time. I mean, it is a touchy thing. I don't want to cut anyone off. And I also respect them, and you know, they have our phone numbers. I'm willing to listen to them at any time. I've had them knocking on my door. I know you have.
Yeah, I always do.
You know.
But then, yeah. Then I feel that, you know, I've been told in the past not to get involved in those things and to have them bring them to the council.
Well, and I think with that, they need to first have it put on the agenda. Mm-hmm. And then it comes before the whole council. And it's just like I remember sometimes on added agenda items, things would be put on there that have no business being put on there. Because it was a counselor would bring something that they had all the information and wanted on added agenda items. I'm sorry, my ears are all messed up, so if I'm talking loud or something.
You're fine.
None of the other counselors had any of the information. What so we were in the dark.
What I'd like to do is let, you know, let's move on to Greg and listen to Greg and then to before we go back.
Yeah, I was thinking about this week, and I think maybe it'd be a good idea to have maybe quarterly or semi-annual town halls. You know, one before the planning session for the budget meeting. You know, get people's feelings on those. Have them come in, ask questions. You know, find out what they want. You know, and learn from us what we want to get done. I have another one following the completion of the budget, and have comment and question at that time. Maybe I was thinking maybe four times a year. We could, you know, get the community center there and publicize it well. Let everybody come speak, and you know, and think about questions. That I worry about too is we get hit with something we're really not prepared to answer.
Well, at town hall is more you just listen and you might make a few comments and you get back to people.
Yeah, yeah. You need some time to before we make an answer. So yeah.
You don't have to answer.
Right.
You listen, but you don't have to answer.
Yeah. Karen?
Well, I'm comparatively new at this, but I have a tendency to think that the people put us in these places and we represent them. We need to know what they want. Without them being able to speak, how can we know? So I think we need to listen when they need to speak to us. I think it needs to be regimented to where maybe it's a short time that we let them do that, but I do think that we need to listen.
Okay. I think that I have an issue also with the idea of just letting somebody get up and talk about something that they want to. You know, we have a process, and I'm going to recommend and I'm going to say that I totally like the idea that we set up a system. If somebody comes in, we have a sign-up sheet there, and you have a copy in your paperwork here, and here's, here's what it looks like. I think it gives them every opportunity to sign up, and I don't have a problem with after the meeting gets started and somebody comes in late and they want to add their name, to have, you know, fill out the form, pass it to the staff, and they bring it to me. And that gives them the opportunity to speak before we take a vote. Now, but I do have a problem with, because I'm the one that has to control the meeting. I'm the one that has to deal with recognizing when or whether we would recognize somebody. And to have people just come along and talk about what's out in the clear blue and that kind of stuff, I think we're here to do the city's business. We're willing to listen and give feedback by using a system like this. And I'm just going to say that there's more to sitting here in the center chair than you really realize. And gauging what's going on, I've always done that, but I regret now that we haven't had this program, and it was in place before, and I think it worked very well. So that's...
It always has to be an agenda item.
It should be an agenda item, because we're covering that information, we have information about it, and we're able to talk about it at that time. I mean, it's like, I think you said that, you know, somebody comes in with something, we're not prepared to talk about it. We don't even know about it ourselves. And so we hem-haw around and all of that, trying to give them an answer so they can't be satisfied because they've made comments and they haven't gotten any kind of real answer.
I see that as an opportunity to find out where they're coming from, that there is something out there that they want to ask about. I don't care if it's sewer or lights or whatever. But if we aren't aware of it, then at least you can say, like you usually do, thank you for your comment or whatever, and you can say, we'll look into it or whatever is appropriate that time. Or if we're having a discussion about something and they're just not sure of what we said, I like to feel that we give them the time to say, you know, can you clarify what you just said? I didn't quite understand it. And to repeat it, I don't see any harm in that. I understand that there may be some people you don't want to open it up to or something, and that's understandable too. But I like this. I like what it promotes out there, that we are, you know, we want them here, we're open, we welcome their questions and comments. I understand that side of it too. It has to be controlled. But
it has to be orderly.
Well, yeah, but I just, you know, who knows where somebody might come up with a great idea that we can think about in that process.
I
think that's great.
My response to that in short is that's what public comment's for. We have a period. We're going to have this sign-up sheet.
No, they can't ask questions.
Real quick, it's the agenda is publicized. Mm-hmm. There's an agenda as they walk in the door, and you know, if you look, staff overview of the budget. Well, they fill that out. I have a question about the budget. That's pretty general. They can ask any question that is brought up. Then, when we're on that subject, the mayor goes, "Okay, Don Greiner, I see you have here, you want to comment on this." That's his chance.
Question or comment, it doesn't matter.
What's that?
Question or comment, he can just ask what he needs to be resolved.
And that's what this process is, that's how that works.
That's what this sign-up sheet for. And if they just want to come and make a comment, then we've got public comment time. And I don't think that's a time that... And it's not normal that that's a time that you get into some long discussion or you start doing timing on people. Because I can assure you, if I've got to cut somebody off, they're not going to be happy. And I think that these two vehicles afford totally.
Ashley, I sent you something.
The amount of order.
What you're bringing.
And that we can maintain and still get a great deal of input from the community.
Well, 3 minutes gives you a lot of time. That's a lot of time. I mean, it could be just simple, you know. Like, I've wondered what style, he said we'd looked at different styles of lights. I wanted to say, when is that going to be? What are we going to look at? What's going on? I don't know. You know,
styles of lighting?
Yeah, the designs, the, yeah.
Street lights.
That's a public works.
It's a public comment part.
Issue. I mean, they look at it and then they bring their recommendations to the council.
Right, and that's your question, babe. What does that, what's the difference?
What's the, yeah.
So she's going to ask that kind of a question, which is.
Remember when we were talking about the lighting?
What's that?
And we said we'd look at different designs or styles of lighting. Mm-hmm. And then decide upon what we're going to do. Those kind of questions are.
And I think that's totally different from what we're talking. We're talking about discussing issues with a city body that is bringing a recommendation to us is totally different from us taking somebody that walks into the room and wants to talk about an item that's on the agenda or just wants to make a comment, one of those two types. We really need to set up a vehicle for that. And I think this is a great I think this is a great way to do it. So, I do have a concern about including the work sessions in that, because the work sessions are a time when we are actually getting staff input and we're working at coming up with some kind of solution or some kind of a way of doing something, and we're preparing ourselves for coming back to the council at some future time and making decisions about something. I would ask the council to hesitate before we open that up into just a gap fest so that anybody can stand up and say what they want to or get involved in that, because we really have to stay focused on what we're talking about in a work session. So that's, I have a concern about that.
Okay. If we try this and see how this goes and then look into what Councilor Gray suggestion about public forums.
Town halls,
yeah. At a later date, start off with a small little piece of it and get that for it first.
I agree. Yeah.
I just want people not to complain, and that's what I get a lot of, is we can't, Kathy DeBone included, she's the one that brought it up to me, I can't even raise my hand without getting shut down, so. And I don't want that feeling. That's what I don't want. I don't want people to feel as though we're not interested, they don't count, and that they have no say. That's what I want to guard against.
I can understand that, but I can also have a feeling for the fact that this is a formal process, and just for somebody to raise their hand in the audience when we're talking about something and wanting to make an input, that's not conducive to us getting our business done as counselors.
Well,
I mean, I could wait for the public comment to make it. I mean, that's the way we were doing it before. But now, I think we have before us a very workable system, and it's like Stu has said, we can try this out for a while and work with the town hall meetings, and I think we can get there. But I think this is going to solve a lot of the issues of anybody saying that they're not able to talk to the subjects.
And I think a lot of the questions that they may pose, we won't be able to answer.
No.
Because we don't have, but the city manager would.
Yeah, possibly.
He's the one that, basically advises us after debate and everything. So our, well, you know, ma'am, please call the city manager tomorrow during the office hours, and I'm sure he'll be able to answer it, because we can't.
I refer, and Rick knows, I refer lots of people to Rick. I mean, it's not, normally it's an operational type situation. It's not something that I can really deal with.
Let me see.
You know, but they think the mayor has all the answers.
And here's an example I sprinted. This is Newberg's form. She, that I thought might, this is, I think, what you're talking about. Kind of, maybe a little less than what you're asking for. But there's a type, we put our logo on it that sits up at the table. They can even have a new website and fill it out online and bring it with them. And that's just what Newberg does. And every city has something like this. You know, are you here for a public hearing? Do you want to talk about an ordinance, a resolution? Get your name, your email.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. And that's what they would fill out at the door.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
nice.
Something along that line.
Yeah.
And then they're handed. Ashley or someone would pick them up over there, and then they bring them up to the mayor. And then as we get to a topic, if that's a topic they're interested in, you'll see it. You know, try to organize it. You're not going to get a lot of people normally. But that's the kind of thing that you're looking for.
Yeah, and there's room. I like this too, because there's room for notes, whatever, going on. And you can move that. Yeah.
And then the quarterly, what we could do is on our work session, maybe four times a year, we try that. And we, where we start at 6, we just say we're going to have a town hall from starting at 6. Let's not put in an ending, because you could have zero people here.
Right.
You don't want to sit for an hour and wait. Just say, we're going to have a town hall at 6 p.m. and then move into a work session. Mm-hmm. And you know, any topic, we invite the public down to address us and visit about anything in an informal setting. And you can kind of dialogue. We just see how that goes. If it doesn't work, you know. Yeah. But I think to go to another, you're already meeting twice a month, to go to the planning, you know, to go to a third night, and go, and actually, I think, wait and see if we're overflowing here before we move to the high school.
Yes.
We've got room for 40. You know, and then.
Well, I think you know, the size of Newberg, I suspect they have a lot more of a need to use a more formal form or a more explicit form. I think the way we had had it, the city had done it before, worked very well, and that speaks to, you know, they've got it. You know, our form that Patty put together for us, I think it's adequate at this time, and we'll go down the road and see if that works. See if that doesn't take care of it.
Okay, we'll just use this form then.
Is there a council consensus along this line?
You tell us what forms you like, and we'll print them.
Well,
this won't work. This is like 3 or 4. Yeah. I have to cut them up. I personally, I think that it's nice to have a name and an address and a phone number. This just says, you know, and then date and other things.
Well, and that's, you know, they've got agenda item and the people that want to talk.
And
you know, those three people, there's three lines there.
But you want them to talk on specific items. Otherwise, this would just
be that's agenda item number.
Yeah.
The very top line says agenda item. They want to talk on agenda item.
But you may not want your name on the chief with someone else.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? This is a public meeting. It's recorded. And you know, I think it's appropriate for somebody. I mean, I always put my name down when I wanted to talk on a subject. It'd be two or three of us talk. And I don't see that as a hindrance of putting your name down.
But I would actually, what you should do, you tell us what you want and let us do that, rather than council sit here and debate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And if anyone has real heartburn over the form,
we'll let you know.
Then let us know.
Then I think we ought to go with this form for now, and then if we get any heartburn over it, or if there's
okay, so you want us to use, what you're saying is use that.
To use this.
Okay, that will be at the next meeting.
Okay. Everybody on board with that?
I feel
well, I think we can. I
but
think we'll polish
okay,
this
fine.
I think this will get polished. Kathy?
I probably like this form better. I would rather have one person's name on it so that everybody isn't seeing everybody's name. Allow them that, the privacy if they want it, to wait and get up. I don't know, that's just, maybe that's the counselor in me again, I don't know. Or even a half sheet that, you know, you condense a little bit.
That was just one I pulled off the internet. Every city has one.
Yeah, I love the idea of making it look so formal and legitimate and important, you know, so.
Kathy, my thoughts about this is, having used this type of system before, right here in the city, was when that form gets brought up to the mayor, the mayor gets to go down that list and say, without going through five forms, using all that paper, go right down that list saying, okay, Don, you asked to comment, take a chair. Doug, after that, I mean, you go down the list. I mean, we all know everybody here, and they're going to make the comments. People are going to know who they are. And it makes it a lot easier for me to navigate through in a timely fashion to keep the meetings going. That's my concern, okay?
And then the other thing that we will need for direction, because this will happen, they'll be sitting here and you're talking, and then someone will decide they want to make a comment. Can they run over and fill it out? Or do they do this as they walk in the door? It could be an hour or two before. Because we want to know what your thoughts are, so we know exactly how you plan on running it. Because otherwise, they will walk over. After they've sat down for 15 or 20 minutes, they'll say, I think I want to talk on that.
Well, so I think what I would do as the mayor, I would ask everybody at the beginning of the meeting, is there anybody here that has any comments that they'd like to make on what's on the agenda tonight? And if you have, please go fill out a form so that it can be brought to me. I mean, that I think that would take care of that. But I don't have a problem with somebody coming in late, you know, and filling out a form. But I think by just giving them a heads up at the beginning that they can go ahead and fill out a form, we can move right along.
Okay. All right, we got it.
And one more. I think that we'll go to a better looking form. And maybe staff
can even get the logo.
Yeah, and we're going to hear about that during council comments today. All right.
Thank you for that.
Okay.
We'll handle it that way for a while.
So staff comments?
Scott?
I do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I have a question.
Go ahead. You can do anything. I mean, I want you all to know that. I mean, seriously.
Sure.
Unless the mayor says no.
You
can ask anything. You don't have to have any process. You don't have to ask permission other than through a professional thing.
I would appreciate anybody here at the council who wants to ask a question, say, Mayor, may I ask a question? But we're free here to do what we want.
I just wondered if we've got feedback on that light that's up by the park.
I haven't been in town when it's dark enough to see.
I did actually meet with Midstate today with their new manager, and actually Darwin and Tom Willer. And we went out and looked at some examples. And so the plan is this. The lights aren't quite, the one light didn't have a big enough arm, but that was fine because they're just testing. One didn't have a thing that made it go out, but all of that will happen. So they are kind of narrowing down. They got a 5 or 8 foot arm, and then they'll be putting a brighter light out, even brighter than the one they've got. Okay. And they will then begin to do that street. And so we'll be able to see what that's going to be.
Yeah.
We didn't expect the public particularly run around calling us with comments on the light.
No, but I thought somebody might notice it.
And then we'll move into your neighborhood and do some lights, and they're going to direct bury those. Now, we will have the next week, we'll have some lights here, a light here, just to give you some colors and things, just for people to kind of throw their opinion out as to what kind of a light that we want in called neighborhoods and around. And Then the other thing is they are renegotiating. They in the past, have, in agreements we had here, had paid $1,250 a light credit, if you want to call it that. Flights, $2,000, they give us $1,250 credit. We don't even pay the difference. And that's when the boss came in. And they have done some studying, and they actually have been losing money on that. And they really, we aren't driving that discussion. It's a large, large subdivision with lots of money to the north of us.
Yes.
That has lots of roundabouts and lots of tourists and lots of malls and golf courses. That is within their service area. And they have lots of lights out there. And so they all have to be replaced because they haven't lasted. So they got them looking at what their true costs are. So they've decided that the $1,250 is too much of a credit. And they are going to take it to their board next week. And they're still working on the number. It will be less than the $1,250, but there will be one. That's, those aren't deal breakers in any way, shape, or form, you know. And I thought interesting what they're saying is, and it's something we always have to think about, it made me think of, just because I know who their board members are, in a discussion I had earlier today with one of their board members on something here, that they aren't, you do not move money around. In other words, if the city of Lapine needs lights, it needs to carry its weight. The people that don't have lights 10 miles out of town don't pay for our lights in here. Had that discussion about some things today that someone was wanting, you know, what's the city's role in some things. And I said, well, we got to be careful of burdening water customers. It's the same discussion, transferring, you know. And so they made it very clear to me today that, you know, they got to make sure if they give us a credit that it, in fact, covers the cost. So we'll get them. We'll get that number. Speakers, I got a couple. I sent her an email because she was into the past a lot about that. But this whole speaker thing, the company that City Hall Matters is going to come up in about 3 weeks and look at everything. They're from Portland. They're a big firm. I asked her if they do smaller cities, and they said they could do anything. I don't know. I said, look, there's a salesperson that will come up, and they'll analyze and kind of look at everything, and then tell us what the options are to make it to where people can hear. It's amplified back there without echoes and all the other things. And then we'll have to also look at this whole camera thing and also to where this goes into her computer for recording. We don't have this little recorder out here that she's running up and down. It should be able to go right into there.
Absolutely.
And you hit a few buttons and it goes onto the website. It could be simultaneous with the new website, you know. We don't edit them anyway, so it's the same, whether it's simultaneous or not. There's no 5 second delay. Anything you say goes right out there. But so that's coming, and we'll see where that takes us. A lot of land use, or call it land use complaints, and just kind of the, you know, it's a little more than, you know, I would expect, I guess, I don't know. But it is just kind of the, you know, some lady called today, and she, of course, wants the trees ground over that we cut down, and I told her we'd look at that in the fall when it's cooler, and we need to have some rain and moisture so dust isn't flying. And then also then the shavings will just kind of become mulch, and then the winter will come in and the pine needles will drop, and you will have very nice looking
compost.
Yes. But the other complaints over there are pretty well, you know, we had them for that week when they were over there. They've kind of now gone away. I think it settles in. I drove three of those roads yesterday, and I always do my everyday Kegel drive, basically, because I get a complaint a day, basically, right here. I have to respond to a Kegel complaint a day, so I just make a, I just drive those roads. And it was theirs looking better because I think they graded that made a difference. And then the planning thing, we're doing this planning, but I say the planning complaints, we're working still on the smokehouse, and Deborah's now working on that. So we'll see where that takes us. I have a good feeling about, you know, there'll at least be some discussion on that. That's a table. Then, we did send a letter out to a lady over in Kegel who has an abandoned property. That seems to be, now it hasn't started cleaning yet. I don't know if she's called for a dumpster, but she didn't like the letter but called me and I called her back and explained why the letter says what it says, and her and I were just fine after that. But she said she's going to get rent a dumpster and start cleaning up that property. And so we'll see where that goes. The new man that moved in out on Cagle and on Huntington, I'm watching him close, and I don't know where we're going to go with him. I'm letting a little more time go by, but you can see that if you should all just drive out there and look in the trees.
They moved that trailer.
It's back in the trees.
I kind of figured. I couldn't see it as I drove by.
Oh, no. I did it yesterday.
Did you?
Back in there.
Okay.
And then when I was coming into town today, it was kind of funny. I've noticed the migration of the wood lot, the wood part of it. And he's moving. And it was kind of funny because I stopped actually and took photos along the highway. And so it was about 10:30. Deschutes County calls and says they're out there doing some code enforcement. They evidently, one of the buildings that they kind of, more of the structures has been added on to. And no permits. And then the other structures that are built for sale, you see there's a saloon there right now,
yeah.
Some other things. Anything above 120 square feet requires actually a building permit. Because when you sell it to someone, it has to have gone through some sort of stamp that it's
safe.
Yeah. So you take a tough shed that you see, these ones you buy, those have been inspected, or there's some sort of stamp of approval. And if it's residential, it's 200 feet and above. But if it's commercial, it's 120. So those buildings, 120 isn't too big. Well, they got some buildings above that. He evidently is being evicted from the first two lots. So what's happening is everything is moving south. The other thing is he has migrated onto two county-owned lots that are back behind Raptor, and that's been part of his storage. And he then went to the county and asked if they would allow him to rent those, and they said no. And in fact, he needs to get his stuff off. So I'm not sure where this will go, but the county is going to send him a letter that he does have to apply for planning to move his business and to put that business over on these new lots. And that's where then, even though it's not our ordinances, they do have sign ordinances and they do have some requirements that are far better than none. And that place was, of course, been developed with none. The other thing is ODOT, that you have 500 feet of frontage, there is no access. I mean, there's no access permits, and you notice there's nothing's channelized like all the other businesses from there into town along there. You have frontage roads or driveways. You drive in and then you park. There is no way to drive into that property. You just slide off the highway and park. And so that's one that we'll see how that plays out. But there is a lot of that kind of stuff. And I talked to Deborah Mann today. I really do know. We the county then sent an email out. And some of you, maybe you got it, y'all got it, I don't know. But you know, they were saying they're getting busy now. And they are sure happy that we're going to be taking this all on. So we're kind of getting, not kicked to the door, but they're busy, and they don't want into our planning. So we've got to, that's why we got to get this person hired and get them working on our forms and policies, procedures, come up with our fee schedules, and be ready to let the public know when they come in the door that we're ready. And the other thing is, if you get questions on, and this includes staff, we're going to talk about it, but you need to make sure that we need to change our response a little. We don't just automatically just say, call the county. And that was one of the things that Nick talked to me about today, that we need to think through a little deeper. And I think at this point, if you get people asking about planning and building type things, don't be afraid to take their name, number, the address of where they plan on doing it, and say, we'll have someone get back to you. And then you email that to me. Because I think that, in 5 months, we're going to be running it anyway, and we need to start, and we're coordinating well enough that, and they said that what's happening is their staff gets all these people go down there, and they say, well, I was told we had to come here, and the city said they don't have anything to do with it. I think we need a little warmer response. We need a little more helpful, is take their name, and the county still, explain to them, the county still is doing it, but we are moving toward the city codes, and I'll have our city manager or our planning person get back to you and kind of help you with the direction. Because an example, I had an engineer email yesterday or a couple days ago to Patty and I. I don't know where's the property he's working on, because it didn't matter really, but
I can't
I don't, he didn't say, I don't think. But he wanted about our sign code. And I explained to him in the meal, sir, you know, thanks for getting hold of us. You need to follow, by law right now, you follow the county sign code. However, I recommend that you meet the city sign code so that by the time you put it up in 3 months, 2 months before we take over, it's a conforming sign. Because if it's non-conforming, then you have troubles changing it, fixing it 10 years from now, 5 years from now. So you don't want to put up something non-conforming when it's going to be non-conforming. I mean, it's conforming to the county, non-conforming, it literally could be a week later. So, and I think he then, like Nick said, that most people will do that. They'll follow the city code. So that's a discussion that we have to have with the people. It's that technically you follow the county code as of now. But the city has codes. And I would say to anyone in this building, look at the counties. That tells you what the real law is. Then look at ours. And if there's a way to make it to where you could make it be legal for both, go for it. And even if ours was more, ours is generally going to be more restrictive. So if it can meet us, they won't have a problem with the county. But if that was reversed, they could tell the county, this meets the new city code. Will you let us take a pass for 60 days on that? And they probably would. So it is an area we got to get into. And as you know what, I think's happened. Guess what? 2 years ago, nobody was calling because of the economy.
Now they're calling.
Now things, people are buying again. They're doing things a little bit. So now the county's getting busier. They're getting more calls from down here. They don't have more staff yet. And so they're getting overwhelmed a little because of all the stuff in the rest of the county. And they're like, God, you know, if we take our stuff away, that's one less thing they need to worry about. So, the brew pub right here.
Yeah.
That brew pub did not get permits. Okay. Although they were said they were, according to the, when they met with the county, they said we're just asking for questions. According to the county, they said they told them they would get permits, and then they did whatever they did, and then I think somebody said, "Where's your permits?" And then I don't know. It just all stopped.
All stopped. I've noticed nothing's happening.
Yeah. So I don't know. I
heard they were getting permits.
Yeah. They maybe are now.
Yeah. On last Tuesday morning at breakfast, somebody told me that they were getting permits.
Yeah.
But
And the Woodyard guy now was willing to get a permit. What you have here is people like permits after the fact. It's a little bit of a game of chance. You know. So, you know, I know that's an issue. I'm assuming that's an issue that you guys care about, is this planning and this, all of this.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So.
Especially you know, when you look at.
Because it is an issue that will cause controversy, as you know from the past city manager. And, you know, that is, when you start to get into this stuff, you will ruffle some feathers. So I guess, oh, the Visa, we are going to get a Visa card without anybody's name on it because we've finally, well, we're trying to get our visas canceled with Luana, Lori, and Steve. And it's more complicated than one might believe, but we have sent emails and letters and faxed, and I'm assuming they're been.
I haven't heard anything back.
Yeah.
They like to talk to you more than I like to talk to them.
Yeah. So we, but we did find the U.S., not U.S. Bank, it's now it's Washington Federal. The manager down there, he up there, going to get us a card that they use for nonprofits and other groups where it's assigned just to the city. So we'll have one in here. So like if we have to make motel reservations, you know, we'll come and get authorization for this piece. It may not be ready for the league working cities, but we'll get one that's just to the city, sits at City Hall, and it's used for things only we, you know, the manager or someone authorizes. And of course, when the bills come through, you see it. But we'll get rid of this tying into a person.
Okay. Good.
That's it.
Or to
okay.
The company at all.
Council comments and no comments?
Set.
All right. Greg?
Yeah. My time at the booth this year, I only had 10 people come up and talk to me. So 5 of them were from out of state, 5 were local, and 4 of those 5 people wanted to know what this city is going to do about the police department. They're unsatisfied. I have personal experience at this last 4th of July. I spent about a month talking with one of the lieutenants, getting his assurance that he would help the HOA in our neighborhood limit the number of illegal fireworks that are shot off this year. Well, I got support from the fire chief, which he actually stood by his commitment, and 4th of July, because of the HOA's outreach to stop the fireworks, my house was bombarded with over 300 rockets and mortars. I called the police. 2 hours later, they still hadn't they had not responded. It started again, so we called 911. And it took them 45 minutes to get there that time. Now, they drove up, they caught a guy shooting off another mortar, red-handed, and basically the police told the guys, well, you gotta clean up your mess. So, I don't know what the city needs to do, but I hope that the council will get behind me on this and moving forward to get something done about the lack of protection that we pay for. In the morning, this was taped to my truck. This is what the people in this town think of the law and any kind of authority. Can you all see that? It says, ha, ha, ha. It almost worked. Karma is a B-I-T-C-H. So, I mean, I've worked with several of the captains, several of the lieutenants, got the same mealy mouth, you know, lip service, basically what it is. And I want the city to start demanding what we pay for. And it's unacceptable. And that is the general feeling from, you know, 4 out of 5 people I spoke to at the fair. That was what they wanted to know. When are we going to get the police force to do their job? That's my comment.
Rick, we at one time sent a MOU or an IGA to the sheriff, and that has never come back. I mean, we never heard anymore about it.
There was a couple of them that went up there. One was, of course, on the dogs that never came back. Then I think, Steve, they were working on one of some kind. I mean, I'm not sure that. I think what you run into often is that, and they'll probably say, oh yeah, let's work on the IGA again. Because that then, the fact is, fireworks are state laws. You don't need like a city law. So every one of those fireworks was illegal in the state of Oregon. And so you don't need an IGA for the sheriff to, you know. So I just think that in that case, in particular, fireworks are low on their priority list and they're overwhelmed. It's probably what they would tell you on a night like that. But I mean,
I was given the assurance that he had cleared with the dispatch crew, but that night if I called, you know, because he knew I was heading this up, that they were to transfer it immediately to Lieutenant Garrison, who was in charge of the crew that night down here in La Pine. Mm-hmm. It never happened. They didn't know me from Adam, and it was just, again, like I said, you know, they talk and make to try to feel good. When it comes down to the brass tacks, they don't deliver. And I mean, look, I don't know if everybody in Pine knows it, but you pay a double tax for the sheriff's service. You know, we pay more than people in other cities pay because of our outlying area. And
well, we could have them at a work session, have the sergeant or one of these guys over, you know.
I think it's more than, you know, I perceive from what I've heard and what I see is that it's more than just fireworks. I think it's across the board.
Disrespect.
Well, disrespect in the fact that, you know, they don't respond. If they're saying these kinds of things, I think at some point in time we're going to have to get involved with them at a level that we get some assurances that.
I mean, you want them to? I mean, we can formally say we want to have a discussion on, you know, bring them out, sit around the table, and I mean, this really has to be a council type. Mm-hmm. He's elected.
Kathy?
We can try that, Rick, but Stephen brought out the captain and Lieutenant Garrison just before he left for both of us to talk to. And I told the captain that he can't even, that he doesn't walk his talk, and that I didn't believe anything he was saying. But he assured us, but I fought this for 2 years before Greg came on, and it has never changed, whether it's safety of individuals there, because if you do take a stand, the bullies go after you and they make your life hell.
No,
that's what
I agree. I mean, you need to have them here, though. You've got to have that thing.
Well, the another amazing thing that I've witnessed in our neighborhood, when any of the law-abiding citizens call for action, we get none. But the people in my neighborhood, particularly one who is, he's a known drug dealer, and he can call the police and they're there in 2 seconds. It's like there's some connection there. I don't know what, but why he gets better service than I do, I'd like to know.
Can I bring this to a point that get some council consensus that we have the city manager put together some kind of work session with the sheriff's department?
Sure.
Is that?
I'd like to be with Blanton, because I'm tired of talking to the others. They tell me what.
Well, except we haven't talked to the others in a formal city session. When you're doing that over there, you're really a citizen.
Right.
And I think it's important. Why we all want to go up to the top. He can hold his own.
Yeah.
So I think you're better off talking to the sergeant, maybe the next one up from that. And you have to kind of go through a crescendo. That's a big organization down there. And if he may want to, we'd send it. But I would say, you know, to Captain Utter, and then let him decide the sergeant below him, or the guy that came to one meeting, he's a sergeant here running this, I think. But I don't know. All you can do is raise the issues, but you got to be willing to speak up.
I will.
And I think because you all get along good, so it's hard for you to. You know, they're gonna, the squeaky wheels will get the grease.
Yeah.
And if you don't squeak the wheel.
Well, I've called the sheriff's department 12 times probably over the last 4 years. I've had one response that was right after I moved here. And that, unfortunately, that deputy, he retired. But since then, nothing.
The big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was good.
We have no financial ability to have our own police department.
No, I know.
We'll just hire him.
Yeah,
he can take care of them all.
Yeah.
So I think there's a general idea that the council wants to do something about this.
No, we want to invite the sheriff.
Well, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. And therefore, we would ask our staff to set up a meeting with them, to invite them to come to the council for a work session.
Okay. Maybe in August.
Okay.
It's obviously good. July is our date.
Keep trying. It's frustrating, but you have to keep trying. But the trouble is, when they talk to you,
there's a lack of follow through on the things. That
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They you know, appease us with kind words and promises that they never keep.
Yeah.
Patty, do you have that down? We're going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So next is... Stu, anything on the logo?
On the logo?
I'm kidding.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Kathy and I talked about it today.
Okay.
And we're asking the designer to send a print bill so the city can pay that bill.
Okay.
And then we'll get on track and move forward with the logo. We have three that Kathy and I have narrowed it down to.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Okay. Anything else?
On the booth, I think the city needs to re-examine doing that. I was down there myself, and I think the chamber, between the chamber, you know, Frontier Days, the city, everyone being there, Honestly, there was no one that came by while I was there.
Really?
And I think that anything that's going on, the chamber, you know, I don't think the city has any business having a booth there. We can't manage it. I mean, it's a great idea, but...
And the chamber complains because we aren't there all the time.
Well, there's a lot of things about...
Okay.
It's just, I don't know.
Well, speak, spit it out. Spit it out.
I did. I just don't think the city can man a booth there because, for one thing, at least in this situation, there are too many events happening at the same time.
That's the same, yeah.
And there was, you know, some of us, rightfully so, had other plans. Mm-hmm. You know, and it fell on just a few, you know, staff and a couple counselors, and that was it. And unfortunately, some of the counselors had to be in two or three places at the same time, and it didn't work. And, you know, I think we do the city more justice by the individuals walking up to us individually, one-on-one, than in a booth where they're distracted by the other people. So I think we could just spend our time better individually walking through the grounds and talking that way.
Kathy, let me say something. I agree with Stu. I had probably a half a dozen people. One of them was the lady that about the phone books, you know. And I'll just say real quick that today I take care of an estate, and I drove over there. I've been over there about 4 or 5 days ago, and there's a bag with a phone book in the middle of the driveway. So, but I did have about 6 people come up wanting to know information. And that was the real only complaint that I had. To the point I said, listen, send me an email. And she did. And I forwarded that up. But I agree with Stu. I think we're putting a little more money into something that we're not getting out of. And I think we're available at many times when, you know, we can deal with issues.
Maybe you just put up a static display. You put up a banner, that's a lot of, you know, you just put up a banner and you put out, and then people, there's no one sitting behind the table.
Right.
And people just walk in, actually, you put a couple, you know, they like a shade and a chair. You can have your little tent and then put 3 or 4 chairs under there and say, you know, and there's a little thing, but you don't need to be there. If you're there and you happen to stand there for a few minutes, but you're not manning a booth. There's nothing there that they need to have drawings for, nothing that you're taking tickets for, it's just...
This chair provided, you know, for your comfort by the city of La Pine.
Well, yeah, and maybe we could put it off on staff to make a static display.
You know, without our pictures, please.
Yeah.
Too late. What, are you afraid to run and hide? Or? Anyway, but I support that. Now, Kathy, if you had further comments?
No.
Okay.
Good.
One more.
Okay.
It's up.
It's up to play.
It's up.
Yes.
Thanks to Scott and his crew. We made it in time for the 4th of July. The flag, temporary flag, the pole is up there. So kind of judge it. The idea was to get the background, the bachelor and everything back there. I think Scott did a pretty good job of lining it up with everything. I know there's talk of 1 pole, 2 poles, 3 poles. You know, a little bench or something out there, but I've got someone working on a charcoal sketch of a couple different things, you know, so that everyone can kind of look at it. Unfortunately, you know, for the first time flying, it was at half staff for the tragedy in Arizona. But now she's up full staff. So when we do have a permanent one, we'll have a ceremony and everything, but I think that's all I've got. Thank you.
I would add to that there are a couple organizations in town who would like to participate in buying the flag. You know, the Lions Club would like to be involved. The Band Brothers would like to be involved. And there's one other that I can't call, but they would like to be participate financially in whatever the city decides that we want to put up, so.
With no strings attached.
No string. I think they'd like to have a plaque that they participated in placing that, but no other strings attached. Yeah.
Nice. And that reminds me, I need to take this flag down, so if you, because that's the one that was flown over the Capitol.
Yeah, right.
And I don't want it to get worn out too fast, so I'll be taking it down.
Well, let me just say that, Stu, I got to congratulate you. You went, you picked that up, you took it to the finish, you worked with our public works, it all got done, and it was a timely, appropriate thing. And I congratulate you for a job well done.
That's
okay.
What I did.
Further, I would like to just discuss for a minute about, you know, the cohort that's going on, and that's the Ford Foundation, and this is the third cohort. Kathy, correct me if I'm getting off here, but the third cohort, and one of their effort or their project this year is to put a
water feature
that has benches, flowers, water cascading, and that I think is going to be a great addition to the city. And one of the ways that they're financing, of course, they're financing it, and I just mentioned that, you know, Vic and I bought a bench, and a lot of other people have bought stuff, but I would like to recommend that the council buy at least one brick at $45. I know that staff doesn't want to hear that, but. You know, I just think it's something appropriate.
How much is a bench?
Bench is $500.
$750.
$750?
Yes.
You know, that's right. Vicki came back to me and said,
right.
You know this
but
is $750.
But Deschutes County did donate $900 to this project.
Who did?
Deschutes County, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So, you're not the only ones that would get on board with such a great project.
Yeah. So,
for your community.
Comments?
We need to get that on our agenda.
Okay.
Because we can't let the county.
Yeah, one of you on a Lapine project.
That would be a August meeting because there are next week's work session with the county with all kinds of people.
Okay, so we'll have it on the agenda for the August work session.
Yeah.
I mean, regular meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, just make a donation. Decide what you want.
I'd like for you to look. This is just an item that's. I'd like for you to look in your packet, and the last item that was in the additional agenda material is a summary of a program, and I'd just like to read it. That way we've all gone through it. And this is about South County ODOT and logs. The South County ODOT maintenance yard has been clearing the Highway 97 right-of-way trees, brushes north and south of Lapine. There are currently large piles of several logs laying along the east side of Highway 97 right away just north of the city limits. Just before you reach the Cascade Meadows campground across from the Pinecrest neighborhood, and I'm sure you've all seen them. Tim McGinnis, the South County Roads Maintenance Manager, approached me about giving these logs to the city for use by low-income families and seniors. ODOT cannot give these trees to anyone except another government entity. All he requires is a letter from the city stating the city would accept the logs and what they would use them for, such as low-income families and housing, or seniors. I spoke to John Salzer of Sun River, who is a Volunteers in Action woodcutting crew leader for South County. He said that they would gladly accept the logs at their log and woodcutting location. Mr. McGinnis said that his ODOT crew would move the logs to that location. John Salzer stated that logs would be cut up and distributed through the Lapine Community Kitchen. Mr. Salzer has stated that he would be more than willing to provide the city a letter stating the above. Guys, this is a no-brainer. It's a win-win situation, and it's not going to cost the city a dime. So, we can put that on the council agenda for next time if we're basically agreeable.
And you also have to add to St. Vincent, it needs to be split. Half and half.
Right, right.
because they distribute that.
They do that, and
otherwise we'll have them here without signing in and not raising their hands. I'm serious, because I just donated some work to them.
This is coming at a good time, because Warren, who used to cut, remember Elmy Cords, he'd cut a year? Warren and Gail, 50, yeah. 60,
yeah.
Huge amount. He just retired this year. He's in his 80s, and he just can't do it anymore. And he supplied numerous people. So this is wonderful.
I have no doubt that Mr. Salser and his, a group would be willing, more than willing, to go to St. Vincent because it's appropriate. Yeah, totally. So, can we decide this now, or should we bring it back to a council meeting?
He wants to.
I'm thinking. I think it's actually fine. I mean, you now, if they deliver them to the city, because we can't transfer responsibility to a party that hasn't accepted. So when they deliver them, they're ours. So they're out on somebody's property that we have no agreement with. So we're a public entity. Again, we're not. And so, we assume then all, whatever comes with all of that, the kid cutting the wood gets hurt, it's cutting our log. Somebody's doing work. In other words, when the ODOT gives them to us, I guess there are logs. So I don't really know from an official standpoint who's doing what.
You want to go look at that?
Well,
I guess I'm saying is that, Volunteers in Action are willing to give us a letter stating that they will take the logs from us, and that they will do the cutting and do the distribution.
I haven't had any contact.
I know.
So, that's the only thing. I'm sitting here, logs can have fires, logs can roll off, people get hurt cutting wood a lot. There's just a lot of issues, and I just want to make sure at least my job is to say,
I agree.
We're outside the city, the logs are outside the city, they're going to be hauled to something outside the city, and just make sure that everyone knows that, it's minimal risk, but, just eyes wide open on these things.
Okay.
And that's why I think we'll always hear me say that. It goes back to the signs on the street. This is the easy part, saying, we got someone, the ODOT says just give the city the logs. Well, okay, but my brain, and you should fire me if I didn't, should be, okay, I have to get to the end. That's part of the decision for a yes or no. Is it just taking logs from ODOT? It's what happens to the logs when ODOT gives them to you.
Picking one.
Whose land are they going on? What happens if this group doesn't want, a year from now they're still there? We just need to know. I've talked to nobody.
Okay.
So that's all I'm saying.
But
as far as letting the logs and if we can be a conduit to give them to a group, that's really what you're saying.
Yes.
I think that's.
We want to be a conduit to give them to a group.
Yeah.
Or two.
Yeah.
Community Kitchen, I went to one meeting last year, and whatever they did to get all of those logs, they put it on somebody's property, and that person never released the logs back to the Community Kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Whose logs are going on, Ken?
These are going on Paul Hatt. They're going to volunteers.
No, that's the group that's going to cut, but who owns the land they're going on?
Paul Hatcher is the place where they will put the logs, and he works with this group.
Okay, he's a member of the group.
Yeah, he is part of that group, and they work very closely with Community.
You know, why don't you give him my cell number, email, and all that? You can tell him to contact me. I want a letter from them saying we're willing to cut the wood up and make it available to
Community Kitchen. And St. Vincent de Paul.
And St. Vincent de Paul. And then we'll send a letter. We can work toward that.
Yeah. Okay.
Why didn't they just give it to Walker Ranger, a government agency? They're the ones who cut the log.
I don't know why. No, they didn't cut the log. They're doing?
They're the contractor.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they're paying them.
I have no idea. Tim,
well, walk, Ray probably doesn't want the logs.
Well, no, but that would be another government entity.
He said he didn't say that they're
what we'll do is I'll check
faced with burning them.
I'll I'll check in. If you give me the name, then we'll check
I'll
into
send
that
information to you.
And then if they assume then they'll do it.
Because he mentioned this at a chamber breakfast at the last meeting about cutting it up.
There's a lot of wood there.
Yeah.
I went to the state communications thing at the yard down here. They get credit if counselors and the mayor comes, and that's when he approached me about it. And I took it from him that he's having problems getting rid of these logs, and that they're going to just burn them this fall. That's that. Just a quick report on COIC. They made a loan to the corner store at Burgess and Day Road for him to build a large storage place in excess of $50,000. So that's a great input to our community, because that's turned into a big asset out in that neighborhood. The other thing is the transportation issue is moving toward some kind, and I'm talking about CET, some kind of funded through taxation. That's the drift I get out of that.
You mean they're going to have to put that to get that approved?
They're going to have to take it to the voters. Uh-huh. And they're still struggling with the whole issue of people want more and nobody's got money to pay for
it. Where are they in the hiring process to replace?
They are about halfway through.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's all I have.
The next week, what we're doing in 2 weeks, you saw, we are our meeting in 2 weeks is 100%. You know, a lot of times we'll do a vote on a couple things and do some things, but that night be mass confusion if we tried that. So it's just going to be a workshop with the Planning Commission, the Public Works Committee, and the Council. We'll have a big U here because this thing will be used, and we'll move that out of the way
for the TSP.
TSP, a Transportation System Plan. They have to get that thing wrapped up. It's been hanging around for about a year, and they've been doing things. And I met with them for an hour plus in Bend yesterday, I guess it was. All four of them and went through and saw they've done a pretty good job. Nothing that's, I think, is going to. Our TSP for Lapine is fairly simple. You are very lucky that the county already has Huntington here and things, but, it makes. Somebody got these two word names here. The William Foss, I'm used to one name streets.
Yeah.
Like Reed Street, Reed, I always get, but so what's the one right here?
Finley Butte.
Yeah.
That's because that was a Forest Service road.
So Finley Butte and Reed will be artillery streets, called main arteries, I guess the way I say it. With that comes a wider design standard and some, interesting things, and they couldn't do Hinkle. And so I told them, I think they need to kind of redo the Hinkle thing a little. And some other little weird things, but it's pretty good. But that becomes kind of you kind of use that as over, it's a 20-year, it's a broad brush, that's one thing about it, so you don't get into the weeds too far, but it does, and it has Morrison and Huntington as arteries. And what I'm saying is that Morrison will be a part of the downtown, but it's considered the downtown artery, which has wider sidewalks, which is what we already talked about.
Right.
And there are no more 5-foot sidewalks in the plan. Everything's 6. I mean, there's a new law that 6 is your minimums.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so to 5, so we should see what ODOT puts that down there.
Stu, that's fine.
And once Reed at first and all that is
done,
Reed as our truck route,
Now that...
I know it has, but we needed some time to discuss that and get those damn trucks off.
You probably aren't going to get a ban.
But you can at least designate it.
I mean, yeah, we'll have to figure out how the best way to do that. I think one
because it's out into our industrial.
Signage down there, you say industrial park, you could take this industrial park sign down.
Sure.
And that, you know, little, you, I don't think that's county road. They could put a tonnage on it. That's one other way.
Slow it down.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Well, it's right from 45 to 35. But, I mean, it's just...
You don't get to ban, they're not going to ban trucks from using that road. So it's more of an education of the owners down there. But you know, when they're coming from the south, they do not want to drive an extra mile through town,
right,
go through crosswalks and everything.
Well,
and then, because basically it could be a 2 mile detour. If you're going to the Russells or to that, who's the log guy there?
American Log?
Scott. You didn't realize how big of a...
But they were. They used to, right? They used to go that extra bit till McDonald's and Taco Bell and all that congestion went in because it was dangerous.
Now, maybe with the signal, they'll like it better.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah. So, we could try some education. You send some letters to them and say, we'd like you to use as much as you can. You just start.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is a, it's, you know, what they do is they build a square, and it's really, it's transportation, and you have to, you know, it's hard, this is well beyond any of us in years, but they want to make sure, to have a city transportation system, you need to have a, you know, you got, you know, Huntington parallels the highway, and that gets people, then when you get downtown, you need to get from Huntington to over toward the Dustel Park, cross at the two ends of town, using these two streets, and so you end up with a square. And those are your artery. Then off of those are the next level, let down a collector. And then those are not as busy, they're not as developed as stuff.
Yeah.
And then you go down to your local streets. So I mean, so well, it's a, you can't argue. You might not like it because you might live on it, but you can't argue with it.
Progress.
Yes.
I will entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Stu is the hero.
Karen. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.